If you'll turn in your Bibles, please, we'll start in Matthew chapter 5. In our series of spiritual authority sermons, we're talking this morning about delegated authority. This is something for you guys. I'll explain it as I go. We're called and created on this earth to represent God. He does His talking and walking and uses our hands to do His will. And this is about how we go about knowing how to do that. And some of the things that we need to do and be in order to do it like He wants it done. We looked at a situation that Moses ran into in Numbers chapter 12 last week. And I want to look again at some of the things involved with that. Because Moses, like David and Jesus, were people who walked this earth that God approved of the way they acted. And when we see that they acted right, we can learn from that in the way that we need to handle the situations that we run into. Now, don't miss the thing. You know, I can't be here much longer. And I think about the decisions that we all have to make sometimes without leadership. And each person needs to know how to make those kind of decisions that's going to be best for him. And that's the job of somebody who teaches, is to show people what that is. And so I'm concerned for you if I'm not around for you to ask this or that or the other, how you can learn to make those decisions for yourself without having to put near as much studying as I have. Because a teacher, part of his gift is a willingness to research the Bible and study it and hunt in the little cracks and crevices for every bit of information he can find to help folks know how to do things God's way. It says in chapter 5 of Matthew, in verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that others may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." It says in another place, we were created for good works. So what are good works? They're doing things like Jesus and doing it the way He did it. That's something I pray constantly for. Not that I'll just know how to do it, but I'll know the way to do it, because that's important too. Moses was called for this purpose. And we probably got more information about Moses and his way of leading about 6 million people, those Israelites. And I want to remind you about this, that you may not have come to this place yet. You know, Moses went and led the people out of Egypt, God's people, God's chosen people, the Israelites, out of Egypt, on the way to the promised land, Canaan. Moses was prepared as a baby, chosen to do all this, and then when it came time for the people that he led in to get into the promised land, Moses didn't get to go. He made one mistake. In all that time, he made one mistake. and God wouldn't let him go in. He put him up on top of a mountain, let him look over in the promised land, but he wouldn't let him go because he made one mistake. Understand that about the God you serve, because in the New Testament, with the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in us, we're allowed more than that. We're forgiven every time we ask for the mistakes we make. The people were grumbling because they didn't have water. And when Moses went to God, God said, strike that rock with your rod and water will come out of it. And enough water came out of the rock to water all the people that were thirsty and their animals. And there were some of them. The next time they complained about water, it made Moses mad. God told Moses, this time, don't strike the rock with your rod. Just speak to the rock, and the water will come out of it like it did last time. Moses was mad, and he didn't do it. He struck the rock with his rod again. And God, being God, went ahead and let the water come out of the rock just like he had before. Because the people expected it, because they had seen it happen before. Because Moses made that one mistake and disobeyed God, he couldn't go into the promised land with the rest of his people. Now that's something I like to keep in the back of my head when I tell myself, oh, God, don't really be aggravated at me because I did this one little thing. So remember that. Moses was a pretty important man for God. And we saw last week what happened when Moses was criticized. Moses was raised in Pharaoh's house from a baby. As a grown man, he walked among his people. He was an Israelite. He wasn't an Egyptian. He was an Israelite, one of the slaves in Egypt. But Pharaoh's daughter pulled him out of the bulrushes, if you remember the story, and raised him in the Pharaoh's castle, in the king's house. He was a big man, Moses was. And he saw an Israelite brother being mistreated by an Egyptian slave driver, and he killed that slave driver. He figured out, as important as he was, they wouldn't put up with that. They'd kill him too. So he lit out. And for 40 years in the wilderness, he looked after sheep for his father-in-law. In that 40 years in the wilderness, the man who couldn't control his temper before, who didn't know how to do things right, learned how to do things right. And when God called him, you remember the story with the burning bush, said, I got something I want you to do. I want you to go to Egypt and get your brothers and sisters out of slavery. And that's what Moses did. So he was a big man in the world at that time because Egypt was the number one country. The Pharaoh was the number one ruler in the world. And Moses had the job of going there and telling him, you're going to have to turn all your slaves loose. God said so. And he asked him, said, who does tell him says to let the people go? And all that God told him said, you just tell him that I am what I am. That was the job Moses had. So sometime in the course of this leadership, he married an Ethiopian woman, a black woman. I don't know whether that was a part or whether it was a heathen woman, but she wasn't of his tribe, and his older sister, Miriam, criticized, went and got his older brother, and the two of them criticized Moses for the woman he married. And today I'd like for us to look and see the way Moses handled that. People didn't criticize Moses very much. I mean, they talked among themselves. But everybody was scared to walk up to Moses and sass him to his face. They're afraid what God might do. And it turned out, as we saw last week, that God said you guys didn't have any business criticizing him, running him down. And he gave his sister, the one that started the mess, leprosy. The worst thing you could have as far as a disease is concerned in those days. But we saw, and if you'll think back, remember what we talked about. When they came to Moses and criticized him, I mean, they put him down. They slandered him pretty bad. Moses acted like he didn't hear it. Now I want to ask you something. You know yourself. How much slander? And that's a word, I mean, we're not talking about somebody insulting you on Facebook or something like that. I'm talking about slander. I'm talking about in public, right to your face, calling you out and telling everybody how sorry you are. How much of that can you take? I've seen people completely lose everything because somebody said something on Facebook that they didn't like. Well, I think we'll see later that God uses that to prepare people to be what he wants them to be. Some kind of way, in the 40 years that Moses was working in the wilderness with the sheep, he learned that when people put you down, you don't do anything. Do what? You don't do anything. When God delegates a person to speak for him, when somebody puts him down for saying what he did, he doesn't do anything. Now, I don't know whether you've been in that situation before or not. I have. I've been called down by a church several times in my life for doing the right thing. You would think that people in the church would expect people in the church to do the right thing. But they don't always do it. Now, something we need to understand. When you do the right thing in front of people who want everybody to think that they're doing right, and when you do something right, you make them see that they're doing it wrong. And when they see they're doing it wrong, rather than admit that they made a mistake, they'll put you down to try to justify what they did. That's kind of, we've got one party of government right now that made a mistake. Few of them admit it, but most of them don't. They're trying to justify what they did. And some of them still hadn't figured it out that they need to take a different course if people are going to support them. But Scripture said in Numbers chapter 2 and verse 2 last week that we were looking at, Moses acted like he didn't even hear it. He didn't even hear the slanderous word that was put to him. But do you remember what it said? And God heard it. Now let me tell you something, folks. The book of James is a book about how we act when we're... folks are telling stories on us that aren't true. But God hears every single thing that is said by anybody. And he says, I will take care of people who bring you trouble. Don't you worry about it. I heard what they said. I knew their heart. And I'll take care of it myself. You don't need to take care of it. You don't have to say one word. There's something else you need to understand. And if you who have been in a public situation where you were slandered, you find out really when it's all said and done, there's nothing you can do about it anyhow. When you start trying to defend what you are or what you did, people either get mad at you or they make fun of you. The best thing you can do when you've heard that somebody has put you down is to keep your mouth shut and go to the house and trust God to handle it like he sees fit. That's what Moses did. And what did God do? God called the two people who slandered him, his brother and his sister, into the meeting house, challenged them about what they had said, got mad and left. And when they looked around, the sister who had started the ruckus had leprosy. Now, Moses then went and pled with God to heal his sister. And God did. But that gives you an idea of the way God sees things like what happened to Moses. And what people like Moses are supposed to do when they're the victim. But when you act right in front of people who are acting wrong, and they know it, very few people act wrong and don't know it. They know what's going on. And the only thing you have to do when you choose to act right and you're in among people who are not acting right, you convict them of their sin. And you don't have to say a word. And they're not going to like it. Some of them aren't. They're just not. And ain't a thing in the world you can do about it. Except, as a fellow told me one time, just make sure that the thing they're accusing you of, you're not doing. That's the only thing you can do. If they just told a lie on you, just make sure that the lie they told is not the truth. That's all you can do. And God promises, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 6, God considers it a righteous thing to bring tribulation on those that trouble you. It's kind of like if you mess with me, my daddy will get you. But the difference is it's your heavenly Father and not your earthly Father. But he says, I'll take care of it. But I've learned something too. If you try to defend yourself, then God sometimes backs up and doesn't take care of it. So what God has commanded us to do is what Moses did. To just not say anything at all and act like you didn't even hear it. Turn to Luke chapter 9. I want to show you one of the most important verses in Scripture. In Luke chapter 9, dealing with me and with you, people who belong to God, who have been given a responsibility to speak for God. This is about them and how they're supposed to handle it. Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. Look what it says. And Jesus said to them all, if any man will come after me, Let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Woo! Two words, deny himself. You know what that means? If you're going to speak for Jesus, the ideas can't come from you. The opinions can't come from you. You can't give your ideas. You can't give your opinions. You can only say what God told you to say. You can only share what you know God wants you to share. You can't add anything or take away anything. You have got to deny yourself. Now look, that covers everything. Deny what you want to be. Deny your future. Deny your ambitions. Deny your own reputation. Humble thyself, therefore, before the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in his time, in due time. I can't even protect myself. So you see, if somebody's running me down, that's no big deal. Especially when they're running me down because I told them something God said. It's what he said, not my idea. So then that brings up another point. Why should I fight anybody about another man's idea? I didn't think of it. It's not mine. You're not dealing with me personally. I just told you what God said. Delegated authority is given to somebody by God. In other words, when he delegates his authority to you to say something about him to other people, he only does that to somebody that knows his will. He doesn't do it to somebody that doesn't know what's going on. Because he doesn't want any lies floating around about him at all. It talks about in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6. You don't have to turn there. But it's talking about scourging. There's two things there. It says, for everyone that God calls, he chastises. That's translated, he gives them one lick. That's like when you're young and has done something that's not quite right. No big deal. No point in stopping the whole world and giving them a sure enough 100% spanking. But you just kind of slap them on the fanny and say, don't do that anymore. That's chastisement. But there's another one. There's another word, S-C-O-U-R-G-E, scourge. And that means to beat or flog somebody. That's one of those sure enough spankings. They did it in Jesus' time with a whip. That's when you take somebody down and really turn him upside down. What the scripture says is when you're scourged, when you're chastised by God with a scourging, it separates you from yourself. Think about that for a moment. If any man will come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. This thing, when you talk about God to other people, you can't put in your 2 cents worth. You've got to tell them what God told you to tell them. And God, after a good scourging, is when you learn to really deny yourself. When you go through one of these situations where people really, really put you down and you keep your mouth shut and you don't say a word about it, is when you learn there's no use to protect yourself. You don't argue for yourself. You don't defend yourself. You take it. You have just separated yourself from who you are. There's two little scriptures. It said last week we were talking about, and it talked about Moses when he heard that his brother and sister had run him down in front of everybody. It stopped there for a moment, and it said, it told you something about Moses, if you remember. It said he was the meekest man in the whole earth, the gentlest man in the whole earth, the least man that was likely to fight you. After he'd killed a fellow in public, he turned out after 40 years to be somebody that wouldn't even fight you, wouldn't even argue with you, wouldn't even defend himself. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, "But rather fear him," Jesus says, "who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Now, let me separate something here for you. We know that Jesus said the whole time he was here on this earth that he wasn't doing the talking, he wasn't doing the thinking, that he was just saying what God told him to say. He did it perfectly. He never once went against God. But we, as God's children, as brothers and sisters to Jesus Christ, has to handle those two people differently. Jesus says, "I'm the same as the Father. And when you know me, you know him." But there's a couple of things here. Number one, Jesus said, "I want to be your friend." Now, Jesus is called in the 16th chapter of John our oldest brother in the church. He's the first one in the church. So we who are the church now have him as an older brother. And he said, "I'll treat you like a friend because I'll tell you everything. I don't hold anything back." But see, when he spoke that, he knew that God hadn't told him everything. Because people asked Jesus about things, and he said, "I don't know what the answer is. You'd have to ask God about that." There are some things that God keeps from us. I told that young man last night on the phone who's got the daughter laying there that lay dead in the floor in his house for 30 minutes before they threw her to Vanderbilt University because of a little thing of popcorn that stuck in her throat. Popcorn, people. What youngin doesn't eat popcorn? And I told him, God is in this. And you just have to wait and see how it plays out. But Jesus is our friend. We can pray to him to perform miracles because he's the one that catches all our prayers today anyhow. But look what it says. Jesus says if you're going to fear anybody, fear God. We've got a different relationship with our Jesus than we have with our God. God we need to fear. It says in Hebrews chapter 10 and 31, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It's a fearful thing. Our proper attitude toward God the Father is to be a little bit afraid of him. And I have to ask today just how afraid you are of Jehovah God. I'm not to be afraid of Jesus. He's my brother. He's my friend. He's for everything I need. But if you go back and study Old Testament, God has killed, at one time, killed every single person on the earth except for Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives. Killed everybody. God did that. Not Jesus. It's a fearful thing to get crossways with God, Jesus says. Now, we all have this idea, and a very noble idea, that when we feel like God has given us something to share with somebody else, that we're doing a very special thing to go and share that with other people. But so many times our own flesh crawls in there and tries to us to make us act a little bit important because of the job we've got. And what we need to understand, folks, is that what distinguishes me from anybody else is not me. It's not what I am. It's what the God inside of me is. That's what makes me stand out. If we act in a way that cuts God off from us, He quits telling us what to say. He says that. He says, the thing that turns my head from you is when you sin and you don't ask forgiveness for it. If we get cut off, we don't get to tell other people what God wants told to other people. He won't tell us. We don't have anything spiritually to say. So, a delegated authority, someone who has been given authority by God to say something for God and have people listen to it. Have people respect that voice from God. They can't secure that authority they've got. There's no way that you can tell what's going to happen to what you say after you say it. And we can't defend it. And this is one point that I've showed people, especially people who get excited about trying to do something for God. And so many times we do those things called dead works. We don't do things that God tells us to do. We do what we feel we ought to do in the way we think we ought to do it. And when we think we're doing something like that and they don't seem to want to accept what we're doing. You remember when the rich young ruler came to Jesus and it said he left Jesus sorrowfully? Jesus told him you must be born again and then told him to give his money away and give it to the poor. It said he left him sorrowfully. Nowhere it says Jesus went after and said, wait a minute now. Now, I don't think I'm making my point here. Let me tell you a different way. Let me say a few more things to get you to accept what I'm trying to do. No, he didn't do that. When you are delegated authority and you're saying the thing that Jesus wants you to say, if other people won't listen, there's not a thing in the world you can do about it. Amen. If others err, let them err. If they don't submit like Jesus wants them to submit to the advice that you give, let them be insubordinate. You let them walk off just like Jesus did. If others insist on going their own way instead of what you're telling them they need to do, you just got to let them go their own way. Ain't a thing in the world you can do about it. That is the problem that as a preacher that I have seen more than anything else. People coming to you wanting to know what in the world I can do because somebody I love is not living like I want them to live. There's not a thing in the world you can do about it. Grandmothers, grandfathers, mothers and fathers and kids and whatever. There's nothing you can do. You just got to let them go. In the Bible, I've learned in my studies that everything fits. What you see over here matches what you see over here. There's no difference. You won't find something in the Bible that it doesn't agree with it anywhere else in the Bible. That's not so. It says so in 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy 3:16. It says that everything fits together. And that's what we got to learn. When we believe something and we can't find it anywhere else in the Bible, it must believe it. We're not believing right. And that's where it comes from. So again, when you do something you think is noble for Jesus, and nobody's listening, don't say anything. If they disagree with you, don't say anything. People think for somebody to have authority from God, they've got to be a person with strength of personality, bearing or appearance, and the power to be an authority. They reason one must possess a strong determination, have clever ideas and eloquent lips, be able to out-argue somebody or debate somebody and win. No, that's not what it is at all. Remember what it said about Moses, the most powerful man in the whole world at the time? It said he was the meekest, the most gentle. None of those things. Moses even told God, I can't speak, I stutter when I try to speak to people. And it made God mad. And he said, well, just you, let Aaron. Aaron's got a good voice. Let your brother do your talking for you. But you can't turn me down, Moses. That's what he told him. Having revelation from God is a sign that God is satisfied with the way you're doing it. God spoke through Moses because God was satisfied with Moses. God spoke through Jesus and Paul and all because he was satisfied with the way they were talking. They were saying what he wanted them to say the way he wanted them to say it. We are not capable of doing that on our own. Without God in us, distinguishing us, and in His authority, making somebody else listen to it, it's all about God. It's not about the person. And everybody that God has called to say something for Him is capable of doing that, but they've got to be so careful just not to put a word or two in that they thought about, or opinion, or whatever, and do just exactly what God says. That's what Moses did. The most important guy in the whole country, when they ran him down, act like he didn't even hear it. It'd be cool if we could do that today. If somebody was telling everybody how sorry you were, and you acted like you didn't even hear what they said, knowing that God is going to take care of that. But that's what God teaches us. That's what He tells us. And that's what He means. So when you have been chosen, you know inside you've been chosen to say something to somebody else or to do something for somebody else, and somebody finds something wrong with it and starts talking about it, don't try to do anything about it. Turn it over to God and let Him handle it. And I promise you, He will. But I promise you this too. Some of the things that you think that you would have done to that person because he said something about you, when you see God treating him like he's going to treat him, it's a whole lot worse than anything you would have done. You realize that God is really taking care of the situation in a way that they won't say nothing again. That's what spiritual authority is all about. God said, I told you, 86 times that He spoke to somebody on this earth about something. 36 times, 30 plus 3 really, 39 times He spoke through somebody. He was telling somebody to tell somebody else something. So He does it. He does it every day. Just make sure that we don't mess it up in the process. Because if we argue, if we try to defend anything, it's all flesh. It's us. It's not Him. Let's pray. Lord, teach us. Teach us to be humble about ourselves. Take our pride away from us. Take our defensive attitudes away from us. Take our desire to defend ourselves and to fuss with folk away from us. You say that your word will not come back empty, and we know you're capable of doing that. So when we're called to say something for you, let us know that it's going to do what you want it to do, and not feel like that we have to add something of ourselves to make it happen. That you're perfectly capable of defending yourself in every situation. We thank you this morning, Lord, for being our teacher and for being our God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.